the Wimbledon Podcast with Sky Sports' Nick Lester.
Hello everyone, pleasure to have you with us ahead of the Wimbledon Championships. They start on Monday and it's Dave Kellner in the studio with Nick Lester on the line to look ahead to what promises to be and always is a tremendous 2 weeks at SW19 for the Wimbledon Championships. First of all, it's a very good morning to Nick. Good morning, Nick.
How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, enjoying the sunshine down on the south coast of England at the moment, and in Eastbourne, watching some tennis down here, which is great.
Yeah, Heather Watson doing very well, as recording this prior to her semi-final later on this afternoon. But good performances from Heather Watson so far this week.
Well, outstanding. I mean, you know, it's funny because she played, I think, very late Tuesday night, got through, snuck through in three sets against Pironkova, and then had that victory, as you say, against Flavia Panetta. And then, you know, you make your own luck, don't you? You get a withdrawal and Petra Kvitova withdraws and suddenly you're in the semi-finals and you've got a chance against Madison Keys. So she's been coming. She's been making improvements. Her coach and her have been working very hard. I know that. And, you know, that's been paying off. And it'll be a nice ranking rise as well. This is a lot of points on offer here this week. So it'll be a nice ranking rise for Heather Plata Wimbledon.
We'll talk about Heather Watson a little bit later on in the podcast. But we'll start off with the men's side of the Wimbledon draw, and we'll begin with Novak Djokovic, who is the favourite here with William Hill at 7-4. Nick, winner in 2011, Djokovic, and semi-finalist in each of the last 4 years. He was a little bit disappointing, Nick, in that French Open final against Rafael Nadal. He's talked in great detail about his want to win that championship and how it was almost his big focus this year. It was a little bit lackluster in that final from Djokovic.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I do think there was more to it, actually, than meets the eye. I do think perhaps he was struggling with a bit of an illness. I think clearly there was a couple of issues, I think, in the semi-final as well against Gorbis, where he wasn't 100% fit. He's taken a break since. He's had pretty much 2 weeks off. He was in Ibiza, actually, ironically, of all places. Wimbledon preparation in Ibiza, that's an unusual one, isn't it? But he was over there for a couple of days, just having a bit of a breather. Didn't play yesterday, Dave, interestingly enough, in the Boodles, in the challenge down there. He was due to play that match as a warm-up event, but pulled out with a precautionary wrist injury, which is a little bit of a concern, I must say. I'm not entirely sure what's behind that, but although in saying that, he did practice, I know, at the All England Club yesterday. But going back to the final in Roland Garros, you're right, it was underwhelming, I thought. I actually thought it was a poor final. I thought both men didn't play particularly well. Rafa especially, you could see there were nerves. He knew that Djokovic could hurt him, as we talked about many times before. But just the man is simply almost unbeatable on that particular court. And Djokovic, I think that will have hurt. You know, it's been a year of hurt for him, isn't it, in these finals, these big finals where he just comes up short and he's going to have to try and find the answer.
You mentioned the recurrence of that wrist injury, which forced him to pull out of the event, the Boodles event. How big a concern is that? Do you think that was a precautionary withdrawal? Have you heard anything, Nick? Is that going to be a big factor going into Wimbledon?
I think it probably was. I mean, the strange thing is it was only an exhibition down there, so it's not even as if it's a competitive match. You know, it's not as if he's pulling out of a tournament. It's an exhibition he was due to play. So that would be my slight concern. But then yesterday, I know for a fact he was practicing at Wimbledon yesterday. So I think it probably is a precaution. Obviously, the situation, you know, it's the toughest change to make, really, Dave, in any sport, going from clay to grass in tennis. It's the hardest transition to make because everything changes. You know, you're physically using different muscles. You're bending a lot more. There's so many different aspects of the physicality of the game that changes going from clay to grass. So you have got to be 100% certain that you're right before you go out on the match courts. And clearly that's something that Djokovic wasn't 100% sure with. So, you know, there is a slight concern, I think, by that. Definitely, I think he would have played yesterday had he not have been feeling 100%. And, you know, it is a bit of a concern.
And it's a big risk to back someone at 7-4 to win the entire event when there's been no transition from clay to grass as yet.
No, although he's done it before. I mean, he traditionally hasn't really played any warm-ups. He played Queens a couple of times, but has never really played in Halle. So it's not something he's, you know, it is the route that he's taken in the past. It's not as if this is completely unknown. He's coming here. Unknown players have done it before. And as I say, these 2 weeks, it's just such an intense clay court period, as you well know, that 6 to 8 week period, especially for Djokovic, where it is, as I said, the peak of the mountain for him trying to win in Paris. And he needs to come down after that and have a bit of a rest. Hopefully he will be rested. The draw's been fairly kind to him, really, in the opening couple of matches. And that is obviously going to be key to make sure he gets his feet under the grass courts.
Andy Murray, second favourite for the event, Nick, defending champion, 3-1. Andy Murray, tough opening round match against David Goffin, who is an impressive young player, Goffin. Murray, of course, had a good run at the French Open and teamed up with Amélie Mauresmo after the French for this grass court swing. What do you make of that decision?
Listen, I've read so many column inches, I've talked a lot about it. I think it's very Andy Murray. That's what I think about it. I think it's very Murray. It's a completely left field call. It's something that no one's done before, pretty much. Obviously, there have been women that coach men, and certainly from a parental basis, Murray obviously brought up by his mum. So he had to spend a large part of his junior career and into his sort of senior career being advised by his mum. So it's a very Murray decision. It's obviously something that he's completely decided to do on his own, against the grain, if you like. And I think it could well work. I don't see any reason why it can't work. They both play, they were both thinkers on a tennis court. That's the one thing they had in common. They both had so much variety in their game. Mauresmo was fantastic at using the slice backhand. She had many different ways of beating you as an opponent. She could come in. She had the variety. And she was a sort of, we use the term cerebral player in tennis. And she was that sort of cerebral player. She obviously struggled with her nerves in the past. But they're not together for that. They're together for the nuts and bolts, the forehands and backhands, the tactics. And then obviously Murray thinks and hopes that she'll be able to add something. Time will tell. She's worked with male players before. She worked with Michael Lodra before. I know, speaking to the French in Paris, that she was very keen to get back on board on the coaching side of things. Listen, if time will tell. We'll see. The only thing you have to say is that, as a starting point, there's only one way you can go, isn't there, in the first couple of weeks, because you're basing yourselves on a win last year at Wimbledon, so you can't get any better than that. So it's not easy for Emily. It's a difficult position for her as well.
That's what surprised me, the timing more than anything else, Nick, because it's this short-term contract and there doesn't seem to be a lot to be gained employing Amélie Mauresmo right before Queens and Wimbledon, where you had so much success last year.
Yeah, obviously she had a lot of success on grass as well. She's very different, isn't she, from Lendl as well. You've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other, because actually as a character, Mauresmo is sort of a very sort of smiley, open, quite friendly sort of character. Lendl very much obviously kept himself to himself. He did his own thing for the most part. He wasn't really particularly, media friendly. He was all about just getting the job done, whereas Mauresmo is a different sort of character to that. She's a very open and, as I say, warm, almost hearted sort of person. I'm not saying Lendl wasn't warm hearted, but they're different. And you're right, the timing is a bit strange. Obviously, Murray felt like he needed someone there for Wimbledon primarily, just because it is a different scenario. She's obviously had the experience of defending a title, defending a Grand Slam, something that Murray has as well, but not obviously on the scale of Wimbledon. You have to trust Murray on this and just say, look, he obviously feels it's right. And you have to also have to trust Darren Cahill. Not a lot has been said about this, but it was Darren Cahill who actually recommended Mauresmo. Now, Karen Cahill was the man who recommended Lendl initially. Mm. And that has actually not been given a lot of publicity, but it was actually Cahill who... Team Murray probably have the most respect of anyone who wished, who said, look, try Amélie Mauresmo. So, it's one of those things we're going to have to see how it goes.
What are the strengths and weaknesses of Murray's game on this surface, Nick?
Movement, primarily movement, Dave. He moves better than anyone else on this court. Loves the ball coming onto him. Obviously, because of the grass court, the ball stays low. It's perfect for him because he doesn't come underneath the ball that much on both sides. Someone like a Nadal, the grips on the forehand side that Nadal has, and Djokovic, to be fair. Murray doesn't have them on his forehand, so the ball stays at a nice height, knee height, waist height. That's perfect for Murray. He's able to move. He's able to defend. He's able to, when players come at him, he's able to get around them and find ways to pass them. And we saw it last year. And for me, I think he's probably right now, Dave, the best grass court player in the world. If there are grass court rankings, I genuinely believe that. I think of the field, he is the best grass court player in the world, despite the early loss of Queens. And, he's been given a good draw. The draw's nice. He couldn't have asked for a better quarter, that's for sure.
David Goffin to start things off. And you mentioned the draw being kind to Murray. That quarter looks good with David Ferrer, the seventh-ranked seed in that quarter. He is in Djokovic's half, though, which I suppose is a slight negative.
Yeah, a little bit, but you've got to be in someone's half, haven't you? And that's just the way it goes. You look at the draw, Goffin, Andujar, Rola, Bautista are all good. None of these players have got any grass court pedigree of any particular nature. Anderson, can't see Anderson struggling to really trouble in Murray, certainly from a defensive standpoint. Fellini, the first 16 seed, well, that's good because Fellini's record on grass is appalling. Dimitrov would be the only concern for me in this section. I think obviously you've got Ferrer, but Dimitrov for me might just be the man who does make the big breakthrough possibly at Wimbledon this year.
Yeah, we'll talk about Dimitrov in a few moments' time. He's 20-1 with William Hill. Third in the betting here, Nick, is Rafael Nadal in the market at 9-2. 14-time Grand Slam champion now after that monstrous display at the French, particularly in that semi-final match against Andy Murray. And Murray described that as his toughest day ever on a tennis court when Nadal beat him. Only won 6 games, Andy Murray. That was as impressive performance as I've ever seen at the French Open, that one against Murray in that semi-final.
Yeah, it was. I think there was obviously a bit of fatigue in the legs of Murray as well. I don't think, you know, listen, you can't defend against Nadal on a clay court. You can't just let him attack you. And that's exactly what Murray was really allowed Nadal to do. And I think, obviously, there was some tiredness, I think, with Murray. He wasn't really able to push off. I think, obviously, the matches with Kohlschreiber, Verdasco, you know, he had some long matches, Dave, in Paris. Shouldn't be forgotten. Monfils was a five-setter. There was a lot of tiredness in there. And Nadal will just punish you if you're just a little bit off your game on that surface. And that's exactly what happened. So it was a good run. I think it was a really good run for Murray in Paris. And again, proving that he can play on clay courts. And probably there's only one or two or three players that are better on that surface as well, as we know.
Nadal's a 2-times champion here at Wimbledon back in 2008 and 2010, Nick. But since that final against Novak Djokovic in 2011, he's lost to Philip Kohlschreiber, Lucas Rosol, Steve Darcy and Dustin Brown on the surface. First round defeat to Darcy last year, second round defeat to Rosol in 2012. He's only won 2 matches on grass in 3 years. What's happened to him on this surface? How come in recent times, Nick, Nadal hasn't been as effective on the grass?
You know, I kind of feel that in many ways, everything that could have gone wrong at Wimbledon and on this surface has gone wrong for him in the very opposite way to how it's been in Paris, in terms of everything that can go right for him in Paris has gone right. It just feels, I think he's been unlucky, Dave, I really do. I think he's been a bit unlucky. I think he's been unlucky with a couple of draws. I think clearly last year he wasn't right. I think obviously the clay court season took a lot out of him last year, and Darcy's played very, very well. Rosol the year before. You know, he shouldn't be forgotten as well, Dave, that despite the losses in recent years, he's a 5-time finalist at Wimbledon. You know, this is a guy who obviously has won the tournament before. He's made the final on 5 different occasions. I just think he's not been as lucky, perhaps, as he could have been. I think he's had a bit of misfortune at times. Obviously, you know, the key for Nadal, obviously, coming onto a clump grass ball is making the change. And if he doesn't get a rhythm early on, like a lot of the top players don't, then he can struggle. You know, Rosol, obviously, a couple of years ago gave him no rhythm whatsoever. And Steve Darcy's like last year. I think there were injury issues last year. I just feel with Nadal, to be honest, I genuinely believe it. I think he's been a bit unlucky on grass. I really do. And I think it wouldn't surprise me this year if we saw him bounce back.
He would have liked a bit more of a run at Halle, though, wouldn't he, Nick? Gone down in the first round to Dustin Brown.
Yeah, to be honest, I wasn't surprised he played. I mean, I really was. I think obviously he had a commitment there. It was a very Nadal thing to do. Obviously, having, you know, he's getting a fairly big appearance fee there. Let's be honest about it. Going to play in Halle, there was a fair chunk of money that was coming his way. He pulled out last year, having won Wimbledon. So I think there was obviously there was a commitment to go and play. He didn't have to go and play there, but I think this is, again, it tells you the sort of person he is that he decided to do that because he didn't want to let the tournament down. Horrendous draw against Dustin Brown. I mean, you couldn't pick a worse player. And then genuinely, I mean, the guy that's just going to mess you around, he's going to serve rockets down, he's not going to, you know, it just could not have been a worse scenario for Nadal. And credit to him for going there. I actually, there's a part of me here that I actually think Nadal's going to have a good run this year at Wimbledon. I really do. I don't think we're going to see him suffer an early loss. I think he could well come through that quarter and you know, I see him sort of making the semis. I genuinely do.
Interesting dynamic as well, having drawn Martin Kleesan in the first round. He could be matched up against Lucas Rosol in the second round here, which would be fun.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, Rosol's had a very fine year. I mean, this is a guy who serves well, hits big forehands. He can hit his spots. We've seen that before. You know, he's played well. He's an aggressive player. He's a risk taker. That's what he is. And grass rewards risk takers. You know, if you're aggressive, you're going to keep the points short. It's going to work in your favour. I don't think Nadal, though, if you look at Nadal's record over the years, actually, he's bounced back nicely against players that have stung him. You know, he's come back. It's very rare that you've seen a player beat him twice. a surprising player, beating him twice. And I think he's got a good record against lefties. Kalijan, I've watched here in Eastbourne this week, play well. But at the end of the five sets, I think that's a nice start for Nadal. I do. I think they both play a similar way, but Nadal plays it a lot better. I think then you take Rosal, possibly. Who's to say Rosal is going to be Benoit Paire as well? I mean, that's not a given. Karlovic in there. Well, Karlovic has obviously played great at the French, beat Dimitrov. But again, for me, don't see it happening against Nadal. And I think once he gets his feet into the tournament, which he hasn't been able to do, Dave, and that's been the issue for me, he's not been able to get any grass court time because he's lost so early. If he can get two or three wins under his belt, then we're talking about a different player.
Fourth in the betting here with Hills is Roger Federer. He's in the market at 5-1. He couldn't wait, Nick, to get off the clay, basically. Lost to Ernest Gulbis in the French Open and didn't seem too disappointed by that defeat either.
No, it's true, actually. I mean, it was interesting what he said in his press conference, wasn't it, at Roland Garros. He was already looking forward to the grass courts. And I think he knows probably, Dave, that he can't win Roland Garros anymore. He knew the way the draw panned out in the second week that it wasn't going to happen for him. And as you say, didn't play particularly well in Paris, certainly in that last match, and was happy to move on. You know, interesting Grand Slam record, the way it's panned out. I mean, having been so consistent in the last 15 years, he's now made just two semi-finals in his last seven Grand Slams. So suddenly we're looking at a different picture, aren't we, for Federer? Obviously, you know, what he does well on a grass court has been highlighted many, many years. He serves well, especially the second serve, Dave. That's been the highlight for me. You know, the way he's been able to defend his second serve on a grass court has been probably the best of all time in many ways. I think he's been able to win so many points behind the second serve. The return last year we saw was an issue against Stakowski, but again, he had a back issue last year, so we're going to write that one off. Draws a little tougher for me for Federer this year. I mean, he'll beat Lorenzi for sure in round one. Then he's got maybe a tricky second round because not only Julien Benneteau, but Jules Muller has been a left-hander from Luxembourg who's really played well this year on the Challenger circuit, won four or five challenges already coming back from injury. Then you look at somebody like perhaps Hewitt in there, Janovic. There's a couple of nasty draws for Federer there. I think he will come through this section, this little quarter. I mean, potentially Wawrinka is in there. Mm. I'd be backing him to win his quarter, but I wouldn't be backing him to win the tournament.
Roger Federer 5-1. The peaks are becoming less frequent for Roger Federer now, and the troughs ever deeper. Nick, he's definitely a man that's on the slide in terms of performance, but he does feel. I get the feeling when hearing him speak about Wimbledon that this is the slam that he feels that he can still target each and every year.
Yeah, and then how many more opportunities is he going to get, Dave? I mean, you know, with the likes of Dimitrov improving, Raonic improving, there's a lot of guys that are starting to challenge now, aren't there? So, as you say, this could well be for him, I don't want to say a last hurrah because that's probably a little unfair, but it might well be. You know, it might well be. This might be the last legitimate Grand Slam, Dave, possibly, that we talk about him being as a player to win this tournament. And, you know, well, time will tell. Obviously, US Open courts are pretty quick there, so he's definitely got a shout there, no doubt of that. But I think, as you say, this is his home. Without sounding corny about it, this is Federer's home. This is where he loves to be. His personality fits the place so well. He understands and respects the club and everything, the tradition and all that that goes with it. And, you know, as I say, I don't think he'll win it, but I think we could well see him in a semi or a final.
You mentioned Stanislas Wawrinka being in his quarter. He's in the betting at 16-1, Nick, down in that bottom half of the draw, Wawrinka. He's suffering a little bit at the moment. Had a minor blip out in the first round of the French Open to Guillermo Garcia Lopez. And he was blown off the court at Queens by Grigor Dimitrov.
Yeah, I mean, and not a good grass court record, Dave. I mean, if you look for his grass court record, I think he's played something like 40 matches on grass and only won 17 his entire career. So it's a pretty appalling record, to be honest, that he has. Leighton Hewitt, I remember, beat him in the first round last year. You know, and again, we talk about why that is. You know, for me, the thing of most importance on a grass court is your movement. And again, you only have to come down here to Eastbourne and Queens last week to see and highlight that, especially in the early stages, because the grass courts are green. Obviously, they're very slick, and you have to be able to move well on this course. You have to you have to understand how to move well, and that's what a lot of the top players do better than someone like Wawrinka, who does like time on the ball as well. You know, he does like the ball to sit up around, you know, sort of shoulder height. That's where he likes to give it a rip. That's where he's done so successfully in Australian Open, where the course courts are slow, Dave. The ball bounces up for him. He has time. He has time to set up. He can punch holes in you. He simply doesn't have that time. I don't think he improvises still perhaps as well as other players do either. He doesn't quite have that little bit of genius in him perhaps that some players do on a grass court that are able to get themselves out of trouble. Doesn't use the slice backhand that well either, which is another shot you need on grass. You know, you do need to have that in your armory. Look at Murray. Look at Federer. Look at previous winners. They can use that shot. Wawrinka doesn't really have the slice backhand that well to stay low. He likes the ball up in the slot. It is sometimes a little bit my way or the highway, I think, with Wawrinka, and I just think he's not in form. He's obviously been ill as well. There were some talks of him having a virus last week. He hasn't played. He plays Jarl Sousa in the first round. Should come through that, you would suspect. Feliciano Lopez and Denis Istomin and Tursunov all in that little quarter, though. So it's going to be a tough couple, I think, first week for Stan.
Yeah, it could be difficult for Wawrinka, and it is strange. And as you just mentioned, my way or the highway there for Wawrinka. And as his form on tour's improved, his form at Wimbledon has deteriorated on the grass as well. Fourth round he managed in 2008 and 2009. He's been knocked out in the first round three of the last 4 years. So you could, if you're looking at match betting here, Nick, you could easily see an early slip for Wawrinka.
Yeah, you can do. Obviously, I mean, obviously the expectations are fairly low on him. That's the only positive. So he's not coming here, I don't think, expecting to suddenly make the semis or the final. I think he should beat Jarl Sousa in the first round, to be honest. I think that's a fairly kind draw. It's not as if Sousa's going to really be able to sort of blow him away. He will have a bit more time against someone like that. But it's against someone like Lopez who I'd really worry.
Yeah.
I think Lopez, you know, I've just actually come from watching Lopez play, actually, and he's playing some good tennis over there at the moment against Jeremy Chardy. Well, certainly was an hour or so ago. And as we know, made the final last week in Queens. So, you know, there's some grass court players in there that could certainly trouble him.
Grigor Dimitrov next in the betting, Nick. 20-1, Grigor Dimitrov has been well backed on the back of his win at Queens. I absolutely love Dimitrov for this surface. It's weird he's not being past the second round here, but he's an incredible. He looks to me to be an incredible mover, Nick.
Probably, I think top three. I think top four in the world in that department. I really do, Dave. I mean, what an athlete. I mean, Roger Rashid as a coach does get some good athletes. He had Monfils before a couple of years ago, and now he gets Dimitrov. I mean, the tools are there, aren't they? Let's be honest, the tools are there. I've seen him grow up like you have the last 2 or 3 years. He has struggled. I think there's been a big maturity change in him. I think there's been a big attitude change. You know, what does he do well? Not just move, he serves great, Dave. Serve is fantastic. I mean, that's improved so much in the last 12 months. If you go through the statistics in his games, first and second serve, he's winning a lot more points behind first and second serve than he was a year and a half ago. He believes in himself. I think, you know, let's be honest, I feel like I repeat myself, but, you know, guys now, 26, 27, this is nothing new. This is when they're playing their best tennis. You know, it's not 20 anymore in this day and age. It's not 19. You know, we get a guy come on tour, 18, 19, like Dimitrov, we expect him to win everything at 18, 19. It doesn't happen. He's now 21, 22. He's growing up. And as strange as this may sound a strange thing to say, but I actually think being with Sharapova has helped him as well, because her attitude and the way she, sort of discipline that she shows, has to have had an effect on Dimitrov. It has to have done, because she's, you know, the way she sort of, the professionalism that she brings to the game, I think coupled with what Roger Rashid has brought to his game, certainly bodes well. You know, is it a year too early? Are we perhaps expecting just a little bit too much now? You know, someone said that to me yesterday. I'm not sure. I think from what I've seen from him the last year, I think this could be a good Wimbledon for him. I really do. I think it could be a semi-final run in him, a quarter-final run in him. Obviously, you're looking at Murray in the same section, so that's going to be a match perhaps to reach the quarters. But I think you'll see Dimitrov come through early stages for sure.
That'll be a cracker, won't it, if him and Murray go head-to-head, and hopefully those two will progress through that quarter and meet there. That would be an absolutely belting match. Has he got any room for improvement right now, Dimitrov?
Oh, hugely so. I think he's physically still developing. Physically still developing. He's getting stronger. He's getting bigger, I think. You know, the game will become bigger. Obviously, the slight weakness at times is the backhand, because players can pick on the single-handed backhand at times. But again, you know, I talked about the slice that comes in so useful on grass, Dave. You know, he's got that in his game. So if he finds himself struggling against players that are going at that wing, he can use the slice. He can mix it up. He plays Ryan Harrison in the first round, actually, which is going to be an interesting one. And then perhaps just looking at the draw, Dominic Thiem there's a couple of youngsters in that little section, but I think this could be a really big Wimbledon for Dimitrov. I actually see him as a Grand Slam champion, and I mean that. I think it could be sooner rather than later, and that's not just a hype. I think the game's improved so much, the results that he's had on all surfaces, and as you say, his mobility, his movement. And that is the primary goal on this surface. If you can move well on this surface, you're going to give a serious head start.
It's 33-1, bar the top six in the betting, Nick. Are any others worthy of mention?
I think probably somebody like Feliciano Lopez, who's made three times a quarterfinalist. You know, it's not just the run at Queens he had. This guy's made the quarterfinals three times in there. Jerzy Janovic made the semifinals last year. He's had a horrific year, so I wouldn't be touching him anywhere near it. Tough. I mean, just looking at the draw now, I'd probably be sticking with the guys that we've talked about for the most part. Thomas Burdick's an interesting one, isn't he?
Because 33-1 he is.
Yeah. Again, just letting down, just letting himself down at key moments. You know, quarterfinals of the French, gets Gorbis, good draw, doesn't turn up. Appalling performance, you know. But again, on this surface, on grass, can play well. There is still that 1-2% for me missing from his game. I think the return is definitely an area that he needs to develop on. And I think, you know, he still needs to get tougher. He needs to get tougher, something that perhaps the top five, that attitude that they have, that ability to dig in perhaps, that he simply doesn't have. I think, you know, he doesn't have that many ways to beat you, you know, Burdick. I think as good as his game is, and when the serve and the forehand are on, you're in trouble. But if that's not happening, he looks a little lost, and I think that's the difficulty with someone like Thomas.
He could end up with Bernard Tomic in the second round, assuming Tomic comes through against Evgeny Donskoy, which is a big assumption at the moment, given the state of Tomic's game. Where is he right now, Bernard Tomic? Because suffered with that hip injury and took a long time off the court, recuperating and recovering from that hip injury. But big things were expected from Tomic, Nick.
Well, I'll tell you the story. Down here in Eastbourne, he lost. I commentated on the match a couple of days ago against Gasquet. He lost in two hours, the match was. An hour later, he was doing a two-hour practice session on the court with his dad, and exactly the same the day after. Now, a lot of people talk about his attitude not being perhaps as good as it should be, and yet here, I've seen everything to the contrary. He's been down here practicing every single day, 2 hours at least, over 2 hours he was practicing with his dad a couple of days ago, and this was after a match. So I think the attitude's there. I think that, you know, whether or not he's getting the right guidance remains to be seen. But I think, again, I expect Tomic to play well this week. I really do. I think, again, it's, you know, you look at players who play well on this surface, and I think he's done that. And I must say, one other player that I do want to flag up, who I do think could go deep here, and I think actually the draw has worked out well, is Kai Nishikori. Again, two reasons. One, I think he's very mobile. I think he's you know, he's going to be able to move well on the surface. Even though he hasn't played that well in the past, I think the serve has improved from day and night from what it was as well, you know, going back to the 12 months ago. If you look through the statistics of his numbers, first and second serve, he's winning a lot of points. Now, he's in the same section as Milos Raonic, someone we haven't talked about at all, primarily, I think, because Raonic still, for me, struggles on the grass. I still think he struggles with his movement a little bit. He shouldn't do, necessarily, because he's got the serve there. But Nishikori's in Raonic's bit. Now, I think Nishikori, possibly, if he's healthy, and again, this is always the issue with him, could have a good run. So maybe my outside bit of money there perhaps would be on Kai Nishikori. If you're looking for maybe someone to win a quarter for a little bit of value, I might go with Nishikori in that little bottom section.
50-1, Kai Nishikori to win the championship. The quarters betting will be on the William Hill website very shortly as well. And Feliciano Lopez, 125-1. Okay, Nick, we've been through the leading contenders. Your view on Wimbledon 2014 on the men's side?
My view is that Nadal is going to play well. I genuinely believe that. I think people are looking at his record the last couple of years with a bit of scepticism, understandably so. I think Nadal is going to play well. I think if he can get through his first couple of matches, I think he's going to be very difficult to beat, especially if it's warm. And the forecast is pretty good for the first week, so that's good news for him. I think it's, you know, if it's going to be warm, the courts are going to dry out, the balls are going to fly a little bit, and that's certainly going to help him. It's all going to depend on how Murray deals with being the defending champion. I mean, listen, the pressure has to be off Murray compared to what it was last year. That's got to be the obvious statement. It's a different sort of pressure, but obviously the pressure that was on him last year with having not won it, the entire focus is on him. It can't be like that again. It simply can't be. There must be a release for Murray. I think he's the best grass court player in the world. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if he defended. Djokovic is a bit of the unknown. I think probably Federer's time has gone, so it wouldn't surprise me if we had a Nadal-Murray final.
Superb. A Nadal-Murray final, which would be a joy to watch. Hopefully that comes to fruition at the end of the 2 weeks. Let's have a look at the women's. And Serena Williams is the 5-4 favourite here with William Hill to win the women's. She's now got 17 Grand Slam titles, Serena, just one short of Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova, still seven short of Margaret Court's record of 24, though. And historically, Nick, we've seen her bounce back from disappointing Grand Slam losses and go on a bit of a tear-up. But that defeat in the second round of the French Open to Garbiñe Muguruza, she said that was one of her toughest of her career so far.
Yeah, and there have been a couple like that this year, haven't there? I mean, Anna Ivanovic, the same thing at the Australian Open. This has not been a romp in the last year that perhaps we anticipated. Obviously, Leziki beating her at Wimbledon last year. There has not been quite the procession that we were talking about probably 8 months or 9 months ago with Serena Williams. It was put to me that perhaps the intensity was lacking in Serena Williams. I don't buy that. I don't think there's been any slack off of intensity. I mean, you only had to look at her first round match at the French Open to see how much she wanted it, and against Muguruza at the French Open. I don't think there's any of that. I just simply think perhaps it's a little bit of the case of other players improving. I think there is a little bit of the next generation starting to push through. Muguruza are obviously one of them. There's a couple you can also name that are in that sort of mix. And I think they're challenging. And I think there's probably more challenges, Dave, than there were. You know, she like Federer, like Nadal, raised the bar very high. And players had to find ways to improve. And like anything in life and anything in sport, things improve week by week, year by year. Players get better. Muguruza has come out with a very aggressive game style, you know, something that perhaps we didn't see from Spaniards maybe a couple of years ago. Suddenly she's playing a brand of tennis that is not letting people like Serena Williams settle all the time. So players have snapped her heels. It's simple as that. Anna Ivanovic, who beat her earlier in the year, has made improvements in her game. She's matured. She's got better and better. So, you know, I think it's easy to look at sort of defeats for these top players and say, well, actually, what's happened to them, but perhaps you have to look at the other side of the coin and say, well, you know, there have been improvements made by others. Fact remains, she's the best grass court player in the world, to me. Serve in every department, so if she can lay her game down on the table, I think she's got a good shout.
Yeah, three of the last five, she's won. Five-time winner here, so her credentials, obvious. What about Maria Sharapova? She's in the betting at 5-1. Her last Wimbledon win came back in 2004. You've got to admire, though, her tenacity, especially in the French Open. A couple of weeks ago, she was incredible against Simona Halep in the final, wore her down. And you look at the names that have beaten her in the last three Wimbledons, Sabine Leshicki, Petra Kvitova and Serena Williams, all huge servers, Nick.
I think for me that was probably the best performance at a player in terms of toughness that I've seen in the sort of 15 years that I've been covering this sport. That was at the French Open from Sharapova. The way she came back from those sets down, you know, three in a row, I think it was, wasn't
yeah.
it? Quarters, semis and final was, well, for me, I've not seen anything as good as that. And, you know, it's full credit to her, you know, and her grass court record is very, very good, Dave. Very, very good. I mean, she's played 90, I've just looked through her records, actually, 90 matches she's played on grass. She's won 74 of the 90 matches. And you know, you'd have to say, of the two surfaces, clay and grass, what is her favoured surface? Well, it's probably grass, isn't it? I mean, it's not, you know, having won the French Open, as she so rightly said, this was a little bit of a surprise for her. Big fear again, and the big downside for her, she's been drawn in the round of 16 against Serena Williams, or the same quarter as Serena Williams. And that's a rough one, because we've talked about it a lot. It's not a good matchup, not a good matchup at all. So that is the only fear, that if they do meet in the 16 or quarters or whatever it is, you've got to say that if Serena does get through, she's a warm favourite just to beat Sharapova, just purely for the way that she plays. She is able to keep Sharapova at bay for long enough. She's forced Sharapova to defend in enough positions that Serena's got to be a favourite if they get there. So that's the only downside. I think if you're backing Sharapova, I would be concerned that the way the draw's panned out.
Petra Kvitova is 10-1 in the market here with William Hill. And Kvitova withdrew from Eastbourne, the tournament that you're attending at the moment, Nick, yesterday. And she's got that thigh injury, which is a bit of a problem. She has said in the press that it's just a precautionary withdrawal. And she was a winner here in 2011 as well. And she's made the quarters in each of the last 2 years. There is that niggling doubt, not only about the injury, Nick, but her form's decidedly patchy this season as well.
It's very tough. I mean, I actually have to say, having gone through the draw this morning, I actually think Kvitova's got a lot of upside. It's interesting you bring her up fairly early because I actually think she has a really good shot here. As you say, semis. I mean, her last four Wimbledon semis, win, quarters, quarters. Last year, she lost to Flipkins in three sets. Should have beaten Flipkins. Had she have beaten her, she got a fancy to make the final. I think Kvitova's, listen, when you obviously you lay your money down on someone like Petra Kvitova, you're never quite sure purely because of the inconsistencies that are in her game. But if she is firing, and I do think this week, as you say, was you read nothing into this week. She had some good wins. It's just something. I think she's got a couple of matches under her belt. Having pulled out yesterday, I don't think there's a major problem with the hamstring at all. In fact, I saw her yesterday walking around. She looked fine to me. I think Kvitova could be worth a bit of money here. I really do. I think if you're looking for an outsider, she has the tools to beat anyone on her day, anyone. And this is a good surface for her. The lefty serve obviously helps a lot. She is comfortable on this court. She can dominate. I thought she actually played very well at the French Open, was a little unlucky to lose because Kuznetsova. So I think she is in some good form. I really do. I think she's finding a bit more rhythm, a bit more consistency to her game. She is in a little tough quarter of the draw, though, but I think if she can get through, for me, she might well be a likely champion here. I think there could be some good value. I think if you're looking for someone outside of the sort of those big 2-3, I think Kvitova could be the one.
Eugenie Bouchard is a 12-1 shot here, Nick. She had a really decent clay court swing, culminating in that semi-final of the French Open, that loss to Maria Sharapova, who, as you mentioned, came from a set down to winning three. The concern with Bouchard is that she's got a serious lack of form on the surface, really. Hasn't played much on grass in her burgeoning career.
Yeah, tough first round. I think she played Hantikova first round as well, if my memory serves me correctly. So that's an awkward first rounder, Dave, and I agree with you. Again, it's that little slight naivety, isn't it, of playing on grass, not having had enough experience or enough time on it. I've got to feel slightly concerned for Bouchard. Again, though, I do put her in the same category as Sharapova. I think in mental toughness in that department, I think she's up there with the very best in the world. I think when it gets tight, you'll see her, you know, you could well see her come through, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks. She is very, very strong up top. And she has a determination and a will to win that matches the very best in the game. I think she's a Grand Slam winner. I wouldn't necessarily have said that at the back end of last year, but from the evidence I've seen this year, I think she's got a major in her. Just slightly concerned, again, as you say, that just the movement and the inexperience on a grass court may hurt her. And a tough first round. I mean, Hantikova, obviously 30 years of age plus now, played a lot of matches on this court. That's potential upset, I think, maybe in the first round.
Simona Halep is in the market at 12-1 as well. Coming into this on the back of that heartbreaking loss to Sharapova in the final of the French. And she had to retire in Hertogenbosch with a back injury against Anika Beck. She was a set down there. It was 2-3 in the second, I believe, when she retired. And that's a negative coming in here, isn't it, Nick?
Yeah, and you do have to slightly wonder how much it's taken out of her, don't you, in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, obviously, having played a lot of tennis and a lot of good runs in the last month or so, first Grand Slam final, what an emotional roller coaster that must have been for her to sort of come through. So there is that concern. Very inexperienced on grass courts, only played 18 matches in her entire career on the surface. So again, somebody who probably put in the same category as Bouchard, as well as she plays and as well as she moves. And again, we talked a lot at Roland Garros, didn't we, about the game that she has and the angles that she's able to open up from the back of the court. She is able to outmaneuver opponents. Again, you've got to be slightly concerned that on the grass courts, there is a bit of just a lack of understanding, perhaps, of how best to play on the surface. And it is, you know, it does favour, as I said to you, I keep repeating, but it favours movement. Grass courts favour movement. And again, if you're not used to moving and not understanding comfortably how to move on the surface, then I think that's where the concern comes. Again, for me, Halep will be one to watch. See if she gets through the first week and then see how she's playing and then maybe put some money down from there.
Again, another potential, maybe a potential upset in the early rounds for Halep. As you mentioned with Bouchard, there could be a shock there early on.
Yeah, could well be. Again, it's something that's worth keeping an eye on. Again, looking at who she's playing, looking at, you know, you also got to look in the Wimbledon of players that have had 3 or 4 matches on grass coming in. Who played well in Birmingham? You know, who played well from there? Birmingham, Eastbourne, who's playing well? Who's had time? Who's moving? Who's got, you know, who's got their matches under their belt? And that's critical. And if Halep hasn't had that, so there's no experience for her to call on. And I think that's, you know, especially in the first few days, because the grass is very, very green and it makes it very, very hard to move on. You do need to be a specialist mover on this court.
One of the most interesting contenders also in the market at 12-1 is Victoria Azarenka. She lost her first match back after that 3-month break against Camila Giorgi. But that was a long match, and that was probably, Nick, what she needed going into Wimbledon.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And Camilla Giorgi obviously is a very, very good player on grass. You know, she's someone who I've watched her practice a lot this week. I mean, she stands 3 or 4 feet inside the baseline. She's able to take the ball on the rise. And in fact, Wozniacki said, I think yesterday, that she's never played anyone who has taken the ball as aggressively and as early as Camilla Giorgi. So again, you know, that would be someone, just without talking about Azarenka, Giorgi would be someone who I'd be looking for to put a bit of money on, as an outsider, certainly to come through her quarter. But just going back to Azarenka, got to be slightly concerned though, haven't you, by the lack of tennis? I mean, she's only played one match since Indian Wells. At some point, that's going to catch up with you, surely. You know, we're not talking about a small event here. We're talking about an event where you've got to win 7 matches in a row, and the intensity of 2 weeks of tennis and everything that comes with that. This is not. I think it's a big hurdle as a ranker. I really do. I think, you know, she's played well at Wimbledon. Obviously, you know, her serve's great. She defends well off her serve, moves well. I don't think there's any particular problems there. I agree with you. Actually, having had a couple of hours of tennis on this surface is going to help her, but just going to be slightly worried that she's going to be a little bit too undercooked, I think, for this Wimbledon.
Nick, it's 14-1, bar the 6 we've mentioned at the head of the betting. Who else would you throw into the mix this week?
Well, as poorly as someone like Radvanska has obviously played, it shouldn't be forgotten that she was only, you know, a handful of games away from making back-to-back finals. You know, last year, having made the final the year before, nearly beat Serena Williams, that shouldn't be forgotten. This is a girl who plays well on the surface. Yes, she lost early down in Eastbourne here this week, but, you know, there's nothing to suggest that her game doesn't match up well to grass, because it does. She returns well on a grass court. She stays obviously very low. She's got a low centre of gravity, which helps her a lot. So I don't see any reason why Radvanska, again, with a couple of wins, again, I talk so often about a couple of wins for the seeds early on, because you want to see them play themselves into the tournament. Once they play themselves into the tournament, then you've got a bit more of an idea. So I think Radvanska could certainly be someone who I'd be looking at. But I think Kvitova, to me, stands out. I really do. I think you've got to be bold to say that because of the inconsistency she's shown. But I've seen a lot in the last 2 months of her, and I think her form's improving quickly. And she's played well at Wimbledon, so I think Kvitova could well be a lively bet.
Good stuff. Kvitova in the betting at 10-1. If you fancy the double, which would be Andy Murray and Petra Kvitova, if you had one pick from each, Nick?
tough call. Kvitova. I'll go with Kvitova.
Okay, Kvitova.
Could make me look very foolish in 3 days' time when she loses in the first round. But
Kvitova, possibly. But as you said, she's always got a puncher's chance, hasn't she?
She has. Kvitova. And it's a good surface for her. It's a good surface for her. And that's the positive you've got to take.
If you want the double, Kvitova to win the women's and Murray to win the men's, 43-1, Nick, which sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Keep watching Serena Williams. Obviously, she's wounded, and there's no doubt that she's going to be the player to beat. But Kvitova certainly has the tools to beat her and beat anyone on a grass court.
Superb. Thank you, Nick. Thanks for your company this afternoon, and I'm looking forward to it immensely. I'm sure you are too. And enjoy the event, Nick.
Can't wait. Cheers, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.